भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री प्रहलाद उवाच मथिर्न कृष्णे परथास्वतो वा मिथो पिपद्येत गृहा प्रधानं अदान्तगोपीर्विशतान्तमिश्राणि Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Matirna Krishne refer to devotional service rendered to Krishna. So-called politicians, erudite scholars, and philosophers who read Bhagavad Gita try to twist some meaning from it to suit their own material purposes. But their misunderstandings of Krishna will not yield them any profit. Because such politicians, philosophers, and scholars are interested in using Bhagavad Gita as a vehicle for adjusting things materially, for them constant thought of Krishna or Krishna consciousness is impossible. Matirna Krishne. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. Only through devotional service can one understand Krishna as he is. The so-called politicians and scholars think of Krishna as fictitious. The politician says that his Krishna is different from the Krishna depicted in Bhagavad Gita. Even though he accepts Krishna and Rama as the supreme, he thinks of Rama and Krishna as impersonal because he has no idea of service to Krishna. Thus, his only business is puna punas charvata charvananam, chewing the chewed again and again. The aim of such politicians and academic scholars is to enjoy this material world with their bodily senses. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that those who are grihabrata, whose only aim is to live comfortably with the body in the material world, cannot understand Krishna. The two expressions, grihabrata and charavita charavananam, indicate that a materialistic person tries to enjoy sense gratification in different bodily forms, life after life, but is still unsatisfied. In the name of personalism, this ism or that ism, such persons always remain attached to the materialistic way of life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:44, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayapahrita chetasam. Vyavasayatmakha budhir samadho nabadiyate. In the minds of those too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Those who are attached to material enjoyment cannot be fixed in devotional service to the Lord. They cannot understand Bhagavan, Krishna, or his instruction, Bhagavad Gita. Adanta gobira vishatam tamishram. Their path actually leads toward hellish life. As confirmed by Rishabdev, Mahatsevam dwara mahurava mukte, one must try to understand Krishna by serving a devotee. The word Mahat refers to a devotee. Mahatmanastu mam bharata daivim prakritim ashrita bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadim abhyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. A Mahatma is one who constantly engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. As explained in the following verses, unless one adheres to such a great personality, one cannot understand Krishna. Hiranyakashipu wanted to know where Prahlad had gotten this Krishna consciousness. Who had taught him? Prahlad sarcastically replied, "My dear father, persons like you never understand Krishna. One can understand Krishna only by serving a Mahat, a great soul. Those who try to adjust material conditions are said to be chewing the chewed. No one has been able to adjust material conditions, but life after life, generation after generation, people try and repeatedly fail. Unless one is properly trained by a Mahat, a Mahatma, or unalloyed devotee of the Lord, there is no possibility of understanding Krishna and his devotional service." Hare Krishna. Today, on this worshipable, auspicious, holy day of the appearance of Lord Narasingha, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, Text 30. As Shukadev Goswami is narrating this conversation between Narada Muni and King Yudhisthira, he's literally bringing all of us right there at that time in the scene. Because transcendental sound vibration, especially as it is manifested in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is beyond time, beyond space. Just as Krishna is none different than his name, similarly, the stories of these pastimes, if we have a receptive heart, literally bring us into the presence of what we are hearing. We are there. We're seeing Hiranyakashipu, the most powerful, most wicked man that practically ever lived in this universe. He had already conquered the demigods, except for Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Everyone was his obedient servant. He conquered the lower, the middle, and the upper planets. It is described that when he raised his eyebrow, everyone trembled in total fear. And here is little 5-year-old Prahlad speaking these words to him, telling Father that you are just chewing that which has already been chewed. Anyone could do that. Everyone does that. And because, and here is Hiranyakashipu, who did all these years of tapasya at the Mandara mountain. Prahlad is saying, you are just attached to your senses and sense enjoyment and all your bodily conveniences. Anyone could do that. Basically, my father, you are just useless. That's what he's telling. So fearless to speak the truth. How dear was little Prahlad to the Supreme Lord? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who is teaching us how to be a devotee of Krishna. Through his devotees, he has taught the most important lessons for all time to come, for all people, of how we can actually become Krishna conscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was living in Puri, every day he would go to the Tota Gopinath temple, where in the presence of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani, would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam for at least 3 hours. Gadadhar Pandit would recite it, speak on it, and Lord Chaitanya would listen, and they would have discussions. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells us that when they would speak about the subject of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. Now, Prahlad Maharaj is a very long section of Srimad Bhagavatam. But when Gadadhar Pandit would read through it, and they would discuss it more and more, when it finally came to the end, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, read it again. He would read it, they would discuss it. When he came to the end, Mahaprabhu would say, read it again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could not pass through this section of Bhagavatam with Prahlad without having it read and discussed at least 100 times before going to the next chapters. That was his taste for his devotee. And please understand, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri at the Gambira, he was relishing the deepest tastes of the love of Sri Radha in separation from Krishna. And yet, so much relishing in the company of Gadadhar, this beautiful story of the devotee Prahlad. One time in Puri, Vasudev Dutt, he expressed his desire to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, for a long time I have had this desire. It's the only desire of my life. And you are Krishna. So I know that you can fulfill this desire. And then he said, and if you can fulfill this desire, please grant me one benediction. Lord Chaitanya said, whatever you desire, Krishna must fulfill. Vasudev Dutt said, I cannot tolerate seeing people suffering within this world. It breaks my heart. People who have forgotten you our suffering, pleasures and pains, honor and dishonor, success and failure. For one who is actually Krishna conscious, the dualities which apparently are positive and negative are all different ways of suffering. Without loving devotional service to Krishna. Vasudev Dutt said, allow all the karma and all the sins of every living being in this entire universe to fall on my head. Let me suffer perpetually on their behalf and give them all liberation. This is the one desire I beg from you. Grant me this benediction. Now, sometimes just to look poetic and compassionate and advanced, we may say things like this. But when you're face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he'll take it very seriously. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Paramatma. He knows his motives, his heart. He genuinely desired only this. Hearing the compassion of Vasudev Dutt, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried. His voice faltered. He was practically speechless. To do that to God, to make him cry and speechless, that's a very, very incredible thing. And finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke. He said, it is not surprising that you are asking for this benediction, because you are Prahlad Maharaj. And Krishna will certainly fulfill your wish. Just by your desire, everyone will be liberated, but you don't have to suffer. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated Vasudev Dutt so much because of this spirit of his compassion. In fact, it is described Vasudev Dutt, whatever he had, he would just give it away to people. So Lord Chaitanya had Shivananda Sen kind of take care of the financial, economic aspects of Vasudev Dutt's life, because otherwise he gives everything. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am only Vasudev Dutt's man. I have come to this world only because of Vasudev Dutt. I am his property. Anywhere, to anyone, he wants to sell me, I am sold. Now, this is like slavery. When you sell people, that's slavery. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in very nice words, is saying, I am Vasudev Dutt's slave. Anywhere he wants to sell me, I am sold. That is the extent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was conquered by this spirit of compassion of Vasudev Dutt, which was the spirit of Prahlad. In Navadvip, Thakur Haridas from an apparently untouchable family was brought before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya revealed to him his mystic opulences as Krishna during the Mahaprakash Leela. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained how Haridas in Fuliagram near Shantipur, while he was living in a cave, he was preaching so nicely the glories of the holy name with such compassion. He was brought before the king and the Qazi and was told, just mind your own business. Don't tell other people what you're doing, and we'll let you go. Haridas said, that's not possible. To die is inevitable. But for me to not show compassion by helping awaken Krishna in the hearts of others, that is impossible. So the king said, kill this animal. And executioners beat him through 22 marketplaces. And Haridas Thakur, the whole time he was chanting the names of Krishna, remembering the sweet pastimes, form, and grace of Krishna. And the whole time he was praying to Krishna, please forgive the king. Please forgive the Qazi. Please forgive the executioners. Because of me, they shouldn't have to suffer. Give them liberation. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was narrating the story in Sri Vasangam, he said, I sent my chakra. I called for chakra to kill those executioners, but because of your loving prayers, my chakra was immobilized. So I had to personally come and lay my body over you and take those brutal beatings to save your life. And Lord Chaitanya then revealed those marks on his own beautiful golden form. Haridas fainted. And it is described that Haridas was none different than Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj, he had that spirit. And it was because of that spirit of Haridas, of remembering Krishna in every situation and being everyone's well-wisher, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, when Haridas said that I want to leave this world chanting your names with your feet pressed to my heart and my eyes gazing unblinkingly at your beautiful moonlight face in the company of the Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya said, my only happiness in this world is your association. Why do you want to leave me? Haridas Thakur, in the spirit of Prahlad, he said, I am the most sinful. I am the most abominable. My actions are abominable. My birth is abominable. But yet, you are so merciful. By allowing me to serve you, you have given me entrance into Vaikuntha. There are thousands and thousands of devotees fit to sit on my head. What is the loss of a single insect to this world? Please fulfill my wish and let me die in your presence. Lord Chaitanya said, whatever you wish, Krishna must fulfill. And the next day, in the kirtan of the Lord, Haridas passed from the world, chanting the names and gazing upon Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya lifted his body, danced with it. They carried him to the sea. Lord Chaitanya personally dipped his body in the sea and then said, because the sea has now bathed the body of Haridas, it is forevermore a holy place. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing in the sea every day. He never considered it a holy place because of himself. But when it bathed the body of Haridas, now it is a holy place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only did he bathe the body of Haridas, but he personally, with his own hands, dug the hole in the sand and buried his body with his devotees, and then went and begged for bhoga or prasad, for a feast for Haridas, and had everyone chanting Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Said he was the crown jewel of the entire universe. Why? Because he had the spirit of Prahlad. And what is the spirit of Prahlad? A spirit of total absorption in Krishna, by remembering Krishna. He's the personification of Smaranam, attaining perfection by always remembering Krishna, constantly chanting Krishna's names and glories. And in that spirit, compassionate and forgiving toward everyone. Everyone's well-wisher. No discrimination who was fit or unfit. That was Prahlad. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show to the world that these are the qualities that conquer Krishna. Mahajano yena katasa panta. These are the qualities that we should aspire for. We cannot imitate. If anyone were to try to imitate Prahlad or Thakur Haridas or Vasudev Dutt, it would be imitation. You would probably die within a day. But we honor, we worship the spirit of their compassion and their devotion on the altar of our hearts. And when we actually assimilate these qualities, then we can actually enter into the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we can actually begin to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, not just in a theoretical, intellectual, academic level, but with love, with realization. So in this spirit, let us discuss very briefly the story of Prahlad as it is revealed to us in Srimad Bhagavatam. Begins where Shukadev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj. How Narada Muni speaking to King Yudhisthira. And Yudhisthira is asking Narada Muni, how is it that if Krishna tells that he's not partial to anyone, but yet he kills the demons and he protects the devotees? How is this impartial? And why Shishupal? He was so envious toward Krishna. He hated Krishna. He blasphemed Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna destroyed. Why did Krishna give him liberation? So Narada Muni began to tell, in answer to this question, the beautiful story of Prahlad Maharaj, to show how the Lord is kind to everyone. Begins with the four Kumaras who are going to see Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. And when they got to the gateway, just outside of Vaikuntha, the gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, who are great devotees, they're doing their service. Not anyone can just enter Vaikuntha and see Lord Narayan. One has to have very, very deep devotion and love and realization. One has to be pure. The four Kumaras, they were born of Brahma. They're actually the older brothers of Narada Muni. They're the older brothers of Shiva. But by their own mystical powers, Srila Prabhupada explains to us that they knew the powers of material world. And when you become an adolescent, then sexual inclinations come and they can be so distracting. So they didn't want to bother with that. So by their own free will, they decided to remain about 4 years old for the entire span of the creation. So even though they're hundreds of millions of years old, in fact, they're billions of years old, they look like they're 4 years old. So Jaya and Vijaya say, you children, what are you doing here? And they say, we're coming to see Vishnu. He said, not anybody could come and see Vishnu. So they understood Vishnu's will. They were already Brahman realized. They realized the eternal soul, Satchidananda, beyond birth, beyond death. They were not their bodies. You are interfering? And they were instruments of Krishna's own desire. And they cursed Jayan Vijay for this offense to fall into the material world and take birth as demons. Hare Krishna. And then Lord Vishnu came to the gateway and he saw what was happening. And Lord Vishnu, he loved Jayan Vijay so much. He said, actually, any offense or any mistake or discrepancy performed by my devotee, it is a blemish on me. Because I'm their master. And Srila Prabhupada tells us that when a devotee misbehaves, it is a blemish on the guru and a blemish on Krishna to the world. That is the perception. So real love is not just ki jai, ki jai. Real love is to actually live with integrity. Real glorification is not just singing loudly. Real glorification is to live with a character that actually represents the teachings of the spiritual master and Krishna, so that the people of the world can deeply appreciate. Srila Prabhupada tells us that all qualities in their perfect and pure state originate in Krishna. And the reason we like to fight is Krishna sometimes likes to fight. But when Krishna fights with his devotees, there's no envy. It's simply an exchange of love. Very dynamic, special exchange of love. So he wanted to come to the world. He had so many reasons at one time, and he chose his devotees, Jais and Vijay, to be the instrument. So they fell into the material world. And their first birth was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha, very powerful, he was plundering the planets of the world. And Varahadev, Lord Vishnu, came and liberated him. And now we have his elder brother, Hiranyakashipu. He was outraged. Vishnu killed my loyal, dedicated brother. He will die. He was so upset. He approached Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha, and his own, and Hiranyaksha's children and wife, and spoke transcendental knowledge. Actually, if you just take what he was speaking to his relatives out of the context that he was speaking it, we could quote those verses, and they're non-different than the verses of the great acharyas. He was speaking transcendental knowledge, how we're not this body, we're the eternal soul, and how this body is traveling, the soul is traveling from one body to another, to another. And he told the story of Suyagya, and how He died in battle, and his queens were so much in grief they couldn't give up his body. And then little Yamaraj came as a little boy and told him a story about the Kulinga birds, how one bird was pierced by a hunter, and then the other birds, the family members, were so much lamenting and they weren't leaving, and then the hunter heard them lamenting and pierced them. So in other words, we shouldn't just lament. We should go on with our lives. There's a purpose in life. Really good philosophy. Until you realize it was spoken by Hiranyakashipu. He was a scholar. He knew the Vedas. He just didn't have good character. That was his problem. And he pacified his relatives. Then he went to the Mandara mountain to perform tapasya. And what kind of tapasya he performed? Because he knew the Vedas. He knew if he pleased by his austerities Lord Brahma, he would get any benedictions he desired. He stood on the tips of his toes with his arms raised. And eventually, fixing his mind completely, he stopped breathing. And he was there for so long that ants, generations were going by practically. And he was standing like this, and ants built an anthill around him, and nobody could see him. And then the ants ate his flesh. Now here in Alachua, I think you have many ants. And if you're sitting in the grass taking prasad and the ants bite here? Huh? So if an ant bites you, what do? You usually think, oh, I'm being bit by an ant. And try to remove the ant. And if like 50 ants are biting you at the same time, you'll probably get up and take your plate somewhere else. Now here is Hiranyakashipu. These are big ants. They must have been, because they were eating every morsel of his flesh and they were drinking every drop of his blood. And he did not move. He was standing, tolerating for this higher purpose. And finally, he became so powerful that flames, mystic yogic flames, were pouring from his head into the sky and making everything black. And the demigods, they approached Brahma and told, this is what's happening. So Lord Brahma came down. And there, Hiranyakashipu was just a skeleton. There was no flesh or blood on his body. But by his powers, he could keep his soul and his life air alive within his bones. Brahma took water from his kamandalu and sprinkled it with a mantra. And Hiranyakashipu's whole body formed. It was a magnificent body, incredibly powerful and beautiful. When Hiranyakashipu saw Brahma in his own Hiranyakashipu-like spirit, he humbled himself before Brahma. He offered his dandavats, his prostrated obeisances again and again and again, and then he got up with folded hands and started worshiping Brahma as the Supreme Lord of all lords. And after offering these beautiful prayers of glorification, Brahma offered him benediction. He said, I want to be immortal. Brahma said, even I'm not immortal. Brahma's lifetime is about over 8 billion years. One of his days is, what, 4,320,000,000? And a night is the same duration. He said, I can't give you something I don't have. But Hiranyakashipu was so intelligent, he decided to indirectly get immortality. Give me the benediction, I will never be killed, either or die, either in day or night, by any type of weapon, by any demigod, Gandharva, Naga, by any kind of living being that is created by you. That I will never be killed in the air, in the water, on the ground, either inside or outside. He went on. He covered every possible consideration. And Brahma gave him all the benedictions. And give me the benediction that I will be so powerful that no one will be able to, that no living being created by you will be able to withstand my prowess, and I will control the universe. And he was given all the 8 mystic cities in massive proportions. Brahma offered him everything. And Hiranyakashipu had total conviction, now I am immortal. Brahma, along with Daksha and all the other Prajapatis, went away. And Hiranyakashipu, with this confidence in his own powers, he called together his associates, his military, and said, we must conquer the universe. Wherever there's anything good, it must be destroyed. He was so powerful that except for Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, all the demigods were his obedient servants. They did whatever he commanded. Hiranyakashipu, whatever temperature he wanted, he didn't need an air conditioner. He didn't need heating. He didn't need a solar panel even. All he did is just, demigod, I want it 72 degrees. Inside, outside, everywhere. 72 degrees. Exactly. That was his power. Would you like to have that power? He reversed the way karma works. One would be under his leadership. If you sinned, you would get pleasurable results. And if you did pious activities, you would suffer. That was his strength. And everyone trembled in fear. And in this way, he and his people, they destroyed the places where there was Brahminical culture. They outlawed any Brahminical activities. They destroyed the places where cows were being protected. They burned with fire anything that was according to Dharma or religion. And everyone had to worship him, Hiranyakashipu, as the supreme god. But Srimad Bhagavatam says he had no happiness. He was always agitated and disturbed because although he conquered the universe, he did not conquer his own mind and senses. And without doing so, no matter what else you do, you cannot find happiness. So after accomplishing what nobody had ever accomplished before, he called for his little son, Prahlad, who was going to school, 5 years old. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada tells a story about how in a jungle, the tiger is the king. No one can stand before a tiger. And even though the tiger is unparalleled in his strength within the forest, he's always looking for food. And a little tiny bird, the tiger can just swallow that bird in a second, like that. But this little tiny bird sits on the back of the tiger. And the tiger can't reach with his mouth or his claws, his back. And this bird is sitting right on the tiger's back, and he's calling out, "The tiger is coming, the tiger is coming." And all the animals in the forest, long before the tiger arrives, run away. So the tiger can't find anything to eat anywhere. He's starving because all the animals know he's coming, and it's all because of this little tiny bird, and there's nothing he can do to get rid of that bird. So in the same way, whatever arrangements we make in this material situation by our material arrangements, there's always going to be something that frustrates us. And for Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was that little bird. Prahlad didn't have big muscles. He was not like a warrior. He was just a 5-year-old little boy. But he loved Krishna. He loved Krishna so dearly. And he was Paradukaduki. For Prahlad, another person's happiness was his happiness, and another person's suffering was his suffering, and he understood the nature of the soul. That real happiness is to be reconnected with Krishna, and suffering is to be disconnected. So one day, Hiranyakashipu took little Prahlad, and with such affection, Hiranyakashipu had such affection for Prahlad. Why? Because he was his son. He was so egoistic, he saw himself in his son. And he loved himself so much. He was so infatuated by himself. And here is my son. I am in my son. And he picked up little Prahlad and embraced him on his lap. And he said, "Oh, Prahlad, tell me, what is the best knowledge you learned in school?" Sri Prahlad, with folded hands, after bowing down to his father with great respect, he replied, "Tat sadu manye suravarya dehinam sada samadvignatiyam asad grahat hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gatoya dharina shrayeta." Srila Prabhupada explains that his first words to his father was to praise him. But his praise was very subtle. He said, "Oh, best of the demons." Now, to you and me, that would be an insult. But to Hiranyakashipu, that was actually the greatest glorification. "Oh, best of the asuras. King of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest." More clearly, Srila Prabhupada translates, "One should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." With this beautiful poetic Sanskrit, little Prahlad is telling his father, "You are completely fallen in the dark well of material existence where there is only suffering. You should go to the forest and surrender to Krishna. Now, Krishna or Vishnu is the arch enemy of Hiranyakashipu, his ultimate competitor, the killer of his brother. Hiranyakashipu was shocked. He could not believe what he was hearing. He kind of laughed very sarcastically and told Sanda and Amarka, the seminal sons of Sukracharya, who were running the school, he said, "He is being contaminated by devotees. Take him back to school, teach him properly, and protect him from this bad association." Sanda and Amarka took Prahlad back to the school, and very strict. They said, "Where did you learn this? Where did you hear from this? How is the enemy influencing you?" And Prahlad Maharaj told his teachers. He was five. They were grown men. He said, "What I have learned is I cannot tolerate this conception of friends and enemies. This is the mundane political way of thinking. This is my friend and this is my enemy. But I am seeing everyone with equal vision. Everyone is part of my beloved." Oh, then they heard this. They were outraged. They picked up a stick and said, "We will punish you, Prahlad." And they started scolding him, and he just stood there. And he didn't argue. Then he went back to the classes, and they taught him, and he appeared to be learning so nicely all the subjects of how to cheat others, how to get what you want by any means, through economic development, power, that these things are the true values of life. And they taught all the skills of how to make it in the world and be a true representative of Hiranyakashipu. So they were very proud of Prahlad because he was going to all the classes, very respectful. They brought him to his mother, Kayadu, and she dressed him up so nicely and put jewels on him. And then they presented to his father. Hiranyakashipu saw him. Prahlad bowed down. Hiranyakashipu took him on his lap and looked at little Prahlad, who was so beautiful. And Hiranyakashipu, his eyes were moistened with tears of affection. He embraced his son. He smelled his head. And he said, "Please tell me, what is the best of knowledge?" Prahlad replied, "Matirna Krishne padatasvato vamitopapidyet grihabratanam adanta gobir vishatanta mishram puna punas charvata charvananam." Which brings us to the verse today, so we will now begin class. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both." I'm sorry, this is a verse that comes a little later. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad what the best knowledge in school, Prahlad's initial reply was, "Sravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasyare pujana sakijana atmani vedana." That these nine processes of devotional service begin with hearing and chanting and remembering about Lord Vishnu. They are true knowledge. And by following these nine processes of bhakti toward Vishnu, pure devotional service, one gains true knowledge. Hiranyakashipu was outraged. He turned to Sandinamarca. He says, what are you teaching him? Why are you spoiling? You should be punished. And Sandinamarca said, no, 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 don't say like that. You are offending the Brahmins. We have not taught him these things. We don't know where he's learning these things. It's not us. Where are you learning this from, Prahlad? And then Prahlad spoke this verse, Matirana Krishne Paratashvatona. He said, my father, you are just chewing that which has already been chewed. And then he continued, Nate Vidhuswara Tagatim Hibishnu, that the ultimate goal of life is to realize loving devotional service to Vishnu. But those who are on the path that you're taking are like a blind man following another blind man, and you will all fall into a ditch and suffer. The only hope for you, my father, the only salvation, the only means by which you can attain true enlightenment, Naisham matisthavarurukramandrim sprisatyanathapagamo yadartha mahiya sampadavishodashekam niskinchananam nebrinitayavat. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, unless one performs abhishek with him, upon himself, with the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. That means to humbly hear from and serve the devotees of the Lord. Those people who are completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life, cannot be attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Prahlad is saying, Father, you must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. Only then will you understand Krishna. He was speaking with honor, respect, and love. But for Hiranyakashipu, this was the ultimate insult. He began to hiss like a snake. His eyes were red like molten fire. And he took Prahlad with his mighty, powerful hands and threw him on the floor. He said, you are my enemy. In a forest, if one takes the wood of a tree and puts an axe on it, then that wood will cut down the other trees of the forest. Similarly, although you are coming from my body, you are my enemy. Although you are born in my family, you are like the handle, and Vishnu is like the axe on the top of the handle. And if I don't kill you, you will destroy me. He was speaking good logic. We can use it in our lectures, actually. We just apply it differently. He said, a limb of a body is very valuable, but if that limb has a terrible disease of an infection, if you don't cut it off, it will kill the rest of the body. So although you are born of me, unless you are destroyed, I will be destroyed. And he told his executioners, by any means, kill him. They tried piercing him with tridents and swords. Prahlad didn't try to defend himself. It wasn't like he was one of these martial artists who was like jumping around and kicking people with his feet and jumping over their heads and then kicking them from behind. And no matter how many swords, they couldn't get him. He was just Hare Krishna. He was just, Krishna, I'm yours. He never once even prayed, Krishna, protect me. was praying, Krishna, let me always remember you. In birth, in life, in death, in any situation, Krishna, I am yours. Didn't work. They threw him in a pit of venomous snakes. None of the snakes would bite him. His famous story of Holi was a Hiranyakashipu's sister. She had a benediction that she couldn't be burnt by fire. So she took Prahlad on her lap and he just, oh, my auntie, thank you, I will come. And she sat on Prahlad's, and he sat on her lap and they, massive fire was burning and burning and burning and burning for hour after hour after hour. And finally, despite all the benedictions, his aunt burned to ashes and he came walking out of the fire remembering Krishna. They took him to the peak of a mountain and threw him down. They took him to the ocean and put him under the ocean and put a mountain on top of him. They fed him deadly poison. They put him under the feet of a stampeding elephant. But he didn't die. Hiranyakashipu was really becoming depressed. He couldn't even rule his kingdom anymore. He was just lamenting. His hands were over his head, and he was, I cannot kill this boy. If I can't kill him, I will be killed. And he was in so much distress that Sandanamarka came to him. They said, he's only 5 years old. Why are you taking him so seriously? Just let him come back to school with us and we will teach him nicely. You are so strong, even the demigods cannot stand before you. Why do you fear this little boy? Just, we'll teach him nicely. So they gave Hiranyakashipu some hope. Then little Prahlad went back to school. And he appeared to be learning so nicely whatever they were teaching. But what would happen is when Sanda and Amarka, the teachers, would leave the class to go home for some time, all the little boys were so attracted to Prahlad, they would gather around him and he would teach them about devotional service. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabam manasan janma tarapyatruvam artadam. He said, my little boys, now that you're tender age of childhood of 5 years old, this is the time for self-realization. And he began to explain the nature of time. That generally, you're in the womb of your mother, you don't know what's going on. Then you're a little baby and you're pretty bewildered. Then you grow up a little more and you're 5 years old and you're just playing and playing and playing. And then you go to school. And then you go to school for some time and then you get married. And then after you get married, you have to work. And then after you work, you get old. And then your body deteriorates and you die. And this is the way people spend their life. Now is the time, when you're very young, take to this Bhagavad Dharma. And he began to explain, it seems like they want me to end class very soon. So, such precise teachings. In 1976, Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, and he was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class on the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to his classmates. And he was so enthusiastic. Every day he was speaking on this subject. And I remember the first class, it was a long class, and I was kind of standing in the back. And I was saying, most of the devotees were sleeping. Prabhupada would be speaking and he'd look around and he'd see, because, you know, devotees worked real hard. I'm not criticizing, I'm just, if I was sitting, I would have fallen asleep too, but I was standing. Because
there was so little sleep, and the food was not very nutritious, and everyone was working hard, Soma can explain. And I remember after that, all his classes were really short. But it was so important for him that we understand this message of Prahlad Maharaj. And the little boys, after hearing this transcendental philosophy about how we should not waste a moment of our time, about the nature of Maya and the nature of the beauty of Krishna and the importance of having a spiritual master, the boy said, how do you know these things? You're living in Hiranyakashipu's palace and you're coming to school with us. Where did you learn these things? And Prahlad told the story that while his father was in the Mandara mountain performing tapasya, his mother, Kayadu, was pregnant and he was in the womb. And the demigods attacked and they kidnapped his mother. Their idea is the child of Hiranyakashipu must be killed. So they were going to keep her in captivity, and as soon as the child was born, they would murder him. But Narada Muni appeared and told the devas that this child is a Mahabhagavat. He's a great devotee of the Lord. And they had so much faith in Narada that they gave the wife of Hiranyakashipu and the child into the custody of Narada Muni. And he brought them into his ashram and he spoke Bhagavad Dharma. And little Prahlad said, I was listening to every word in the womb of my mother. And although my mother, due to later on, after I was born, due to Hiranyakashipu's association, she may have forgotten some things, but I remember everything. All the students became devotees. All the students accepted Prahlad as their guru. They would together chant the holy names of Vishnu. When Sanda and Amarka saw that, it was too much. They brought him back to Hiranyakashipu and said, it is hopeless. There's nothing we could do with your son. Hiranyakashipu was so angry. He was again hissing like a snake that was just trampled on. And with the cruelest gaze, he just looked at Prahlad and said, Prahlad, where do you get your powers from? And little Prahlad, with folded hands, with a very sweet voice, he said, from the same place, my father, you get your powers from. Everyone gets their powers from Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu said, where is your Vishnu? Prahlad said, he's everywhere. He's everywhere? At this point, Hiranyakashipu decided he would personally kill his son. And out of total sarcasm, he's everywhere? Is he in this pillar? And Prahlad said, yes, he's everywhere. Hiranyakashipu took his mighty fist. He smashed the pillar. Then he drew his sword and ran toward Prahlad to sever his head. But something happened. The pillar began to tremble, and this screeching sound, a sound vibration that has never been heard in this creation, very loud, a shrilling sound, was resounding from the pillar. Hiranyakashipu was shocked. He was looking around, where is the sound coming from? And he saw the pillar shaking. And suddenly, the pillar burst open. And out from that stone column appeared Narasingha Dev. Just to prove the words of his devotee to be true, because Prahlad said, yes, he's in the pillar. Just that's why he appeared from the pillar. Hiranyakashipu never saw a form like this. He was half man, half lion. And a very angry lion. His eyes were red, like molten fire. He had very sharp, glistening teeth. His tongue was like a dueling sword. His nostrils and his mouth were like mountain caves. His mane was hair that was straight up and was scattering the clouds. And it was white like the pure moonlight. His neck was thick. His chest was broad. His waist was thin. He had many arms and many hands, and there were razor-sharp nails on each of his hands. And he was growling. The earth was shaking with his growl. Hiranyakashipu, so arrogant, even standing before the Supreme Lord in the most fearful of all forms, he was thinking, no one can defeat me. So he drew his sword and ran toward Narasingha Dev. Just like a moth flies enthusiastically into a raging fire. And Narasingha Dev grabbed him and held him. Hiranyakashipu was struggling, and somehow he got out. He escaped from Lord Narahari's grasp. And that only fed his ego more. He said, just see, whoever this is, he cannot control me. That means I am more powerful than him. And they were fighting. Hiranyakashipu was using all sorts of weapons, and he was fighting in the sky, and Hiranyakashipu could fly, he could do everything. It was really a battle. It lasted a long time. And the demigods were becoming very, they didn't know what to think. But Lord Narasingha Dev was waiting for the exact proper moment where he could honor the benedictions that Brahma had given him. And they fought until just as the sun set. So it was neither day or night. He picked up the body of Hiranyakashipu and took him to the doorstep of his palace. So it was neither inside or outside. There was a benediction that he would not be killed by any of the 8,400,000 species created by Brahma. Well, Narasingha Dev was a brand new species. He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was neither a man or an animal. He was. And then he put the king of the Asuras on his lap, so he was neither in the sky, on the ground, or in the water. And he didn't use any weapons. He used his nails. And with those very sharp nails, he performed the first gathering. gastrointestinal surgery. In fact, at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we have like, I think, 3 surgical operation theaters, or more than that. And above every surgery table, there is the painting of Lord Narasingha Dev ripping open the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu. And when devotees lay down and see that, they feel, oh, Narasingha Dev is here to protect me. But sometimes, you know, like Christians and Muslims, you know, they lay in the operating table and they look up and they see Narasingha Dev like this. And just before they're able to ask, what is that? The anesthesia makes them go to sleep. He's the Ishtadev of our hospital. Of the surgery room. The Ishtadev of the other parts of the hospital is Hanuman, because he brought the mountain with the Sanjeevani. But the Ishtadev of the surgery rooms is Narasingha Dev. So he ripped open the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu, and he was growling very ferociously. He took out his intestines and put it as a garland around his own neck. Then he took out his heart and lifted it. According to some acharyas, this was Jayan Vijay, who agreed to become an asura to perform this lila with the Lord, which is going to glorify the great Prahlad and show how the Lord always protects his devotees. So he held up the heart of Hiranyakashipu for many reasons. One reason, to show the demigods, you have nothing to fear anymore. See, his heart is gone. But for another reason, he's always in the heart of his devotee, Jayan Vijay. He was glorifying to see the heart of my devotee. They're willing to even become demons for me. And then he threw it all down and was roaring and roaring. At that point, nobody knew what to do. Brahma and the demigods came down and they tried to pacify Narasingha Dev's anger by offering prayers. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Agni, Varuna, Kubera, the Gandharvas, the Nagas, they were all coming offering prayers. And Narasingha Dev was growling. Brahma said, Lakshmi, maybe you can pacify him. And Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, from a little distance, she saw Lord Narasingha Dev. And she never saw her husband in this mood before. Even she could not approach him. Brahma came to little 5-year-old Prahlad. He came here out of his love for you. And Prahlad offered his dandavats and with folded palms stood before Lord Narasingha Dev. Seeing that, Lord Narahari put his hand on Prahlad's head. And by touching Prahlad's head, Prahlad became absolutely purified with prema bhakti. And by touching his head, Prahlad's sweetness and his innocent, unconditional love brought total peace to Lord Narahari. And at that point, he didn't growl. Lord Narasingha Dev smiled with great pleasure. As little Prahlad Maharaj offered
wonderful prayers. Prayers of pure, unmotivated, unconditional love. Love for Krishna. His humility is the standard by which all great Vaishnavas aspire to emulate. Lord Narasimhadev offered Prahlad any benedictions. What you have done for my sake, even in the face of the most terrible obstacles, challenges, and threats, you never asked anything material from me. With a grateful heart, you simply chanted my names and remembered me. I want to give you any benediction you desire. Prahlad's reply, if I ask anything in return for my devotional service, I am not a devotee. I'm a vanik. I'm a businessman. Business, we give something, we expect something in return. Please, Lord, do not tempt me in this way. I was born in a family of demons. I have these very bad tendencies. I'm very low, I'm very fallen. Don't tempt me in this way. My only desire is to be the servant of the servant of your servants, to always remember you and worship you with love for your pleasure, my Lord. That's my only wish. Lord Narasimhadev really wanted to give Prahlad a benediction. So Prahlad said, if you must give me a benediction, give my father liberation. The person who hated his son, the person who blasphemed, tormented, tried to torture and kill him, he asked, give him liberation. Lord Narahari replied, he's already liberated. I've already knew your heart. Not only is he liberated, but because you are a pure devotee, and anyone who becomes a pure devotee taking shelter of me, I give this promise. 21 generations of all of their relatives and ancestors will be given liberation. What is a greater way of showing our love for our loved ones than becoming a pure devotee? Liberating them from birth and death and all suffering and bringing them to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Little Prahlad prayed that some yogis and saints, they go to the Himalayas to escape from all the passions of this world. But let me take birth again and again. Let me always remain wherever there are people who are suffering due to forgetfulness of you. And let me be there to be an instrument of your mercy. That was his desire. That was the spirit of Vasudev Dutt. That was the spirit of Haridas Thakur. That was the spirit of our Srila Prabhupada when he traveled around the world over 12 times giving pure devotional service. Even despite death threats, even despite blasphemies, even despite old age and all sorts of physical diseases, his love for all of us was so deep, so unconditional. When we understand the qualities of Prahlad, we can actually appreciate a pure, unalloyed devotee like Srila Prabhupada
with such a deeper realization. Mahajano yena gatasapanda, following in the footsteps, living for the welfare of others. And what is the supreme welfare of others? To give peace, to liberate the soul from bondage, to connecting them with the ecstasies of the love for Krishna. Narasimhadev revealed to the world his how he was conquered by little Prahlad. Then Narasimhadev turned to Brahma and said, "Don't give demons benedictions like this anymore." And then he left. And there are so many stories we can tell. He went to Badrinath area. And there's a murti there of Narasimhadev. I remember one year I was going to Badrinath with a group of devotees. And this was in the 80s. And we were at Joshimath or Jyotirmath. And we had to spend the night there. And the next day when we woke up, we were going to go up to Badrinath, but it was Lord Narasimhadev's appearance day. So we happened to ask, "Is there any Narasimha temples around here?" And somebody said, "The most important Narasimha temple in the world is here." They took us there. He was the Ishtadev of Shankaracharya. And he's a Shalagram Shila, Narasimha, and he's in a resting state like this. He's not ferocious, he's resting like this. And it is explained after he fought with Hiranyakashipu and blessed Prahlad, he went to Badrinath, Jyotirmath, and he spent some time resting there. And all the devas came to worship him. And then he went back to the spiritual world. And little Prahlad became the king. Same exact post as Hiranyakashipu. But you see, it's not the post we have that is important in Krishna consciousness. It's our consciousness. Hiranyakashipu took that post to exploit others for his own purposes. Prahlad took that post, "Nothing is mine." He was an instrument of Lord Krishna's grace in everything he did. Bhaktivinoda Thakur told us that Vaishnavas, who are the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we worship Lord Narasimhadev to remove the demons of obstacles within our own hearts on the spiritual path. What are those demons? Envy, lust, anger, arrogance, greed, and illusion. And the Lord is none different than his holy names. We pray to Lord Narasimhadev and we cry out his holy names to free us from the tyranny of these inner enemies that are obscuring our true understanding of who we are in our relationship with Krishna. And I'll end by just one more little remembrance. Many times over the years when Srila Prabhupada was with us, he would become physically very ill. And all over the world, there would be 24-hour kirtans. And we would put Lord Narasimhadev near his Vyasasan. And he taught us the prayer, "My Lord,
if it is your desire. Please restore our Guru's health. He taught us never demand anything if it is your desire. That was Srila Prabhupada's life in every way, to teach us how to live to fulfill Krishna's desire. That is the legacy of Prahlad and the great Mahajans. So on this day of Narasingha Chaturdasi, let us offer our sincerest heartfelt gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for giving us the association of the greatest personalities that ever lived and who eternally live with Krishna. And let us pray that we can honestly, sincerely follow in their footsteps as the servant of the servants of their servants and cry out the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm sorry if I went over time, but nobody gave me a time. Thank you very much.
Shri Prahlad Narasingha Dev ki jai.